Now, last week I received a message on my WhatsApp, the messaging app. I belong to an interesting group of pastors, and they send each other sort of interesting WhatsApp messages. You can't have enough of these groups, so we already have one for the church, but I also belong to another one. This is great. And the message I received contained an extract from the UKIP manifesto, as you know, we've got elections coming up, and UKIP released their manifesto this past week, I think, and an extract from that. It said, UKIP will encourage schools that currently issue yellow adhesive stars, okay, for good behavior to also use other colors such as green and orange. This was a rather bizarre election promise. I mean, a lot of people sort of, who don't like UKIP, of course, already started pouring scorn on this. And everybody, you know, kind of panned it, as it were. Is this really what the school needs? You know, new ways of showing good performance, orange and green? Well, a few hours later, someone alerted us that actually UKIP have not made any such proposals. It turns out that this group of pastors on WhatsApp, that we have all been conned by what is called fake news. There's a lot of news on the internet, of course, that is not true. A lot of news is being pumped out, and it's a phenomenon that President Trump has been quite vocal at reminding us, this phenomenon of fake news. A lot of news we read there is not real. And most of us, yes, even pastors, can be easily duped because we never bother to check the original source of the story to make sure what we are reading is true. That is why fake news thrives. And sadly, this is also true in many areas of our lives, especially in spiritual issues. And many of us this morning would claim that we are Christians. But how do we really know that we are really Christians? How do we know we haven't been duped by fake news? How do we know that our faith in Christ is authentic? What is that belief you have that you truly belong to God based on? Is it based on what you received on WhatsApp? Is it based on what perhaps a friend of yours told you? Is it based on the fact that perhaps you are born in this country and you regularly attend church? Is it based on perhaps what your mom may have said about your faith? What is it based on? Have you bothered to check the true source of the truth containing what it means to be a believer? And the Bible is the only true source and authority that can tell you, not me, the Bible is the only true source and authority that can tell you what it really means to be a true Christian. You need to check that for yourself. You need to read the Bible for yourself or open it and see what it really says. That is the most important issue in your life. I think it's okay to be duped about what UKIP might say. But it's a whole lot different thing to be duped about your eternal destiny. Where you go after you die, or whether you are in a true living relationship with God right now. It affects every area of your life. So the purpose of the message today is to help us check what the Bible says about what it truly means to be a Christian. And we'll do that by looking at the first letter of Paul to the church at Thessalonica, because we have been going through this letter. This is coming naturally, what we've been looking at. We looked at this last week, and we said this letter was written to the church at Thessalonica. And if you remember last week, the morning sermon, we talked about the fact that God had loved us even before we were born, and that he had chosen us before the foundation of the world and sent his son to come and die the death we deserve on the cross. And Paul was reminding the Thessalonians this truth to encourage them, to let them know that they are true Christians. He wants to let them know that they have not fallen under the spell of fake news. Their belief in God is tangible, it's genuine. And we asked those three questions last week, which if you remember, you'd have gone through them. Well, today we are continuing that by looking at verse 6 to verse 7. Let me read just what it says there. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. The question we are asking this morning is, what is a true Christian? And the first truth Paul shares with us here is, first of all, a true Christian has received Jesus. A true Christian has received Jesus. A true Christian is a person who has heard the good news of Jesus and has responded to that good news of Jesus with full and complete trust in Jesus. And this is what the Thessalonians have done here. Look at verse 6. And you became imitators of us. They imitated Paul and they imitated the Lord. They tried to follow the teachings of the Lord. Why? For you received the word in much affliction. They had received the word. What is this word that they had received that started off everything? It's explained to us in verse 5. Look at that. For we know, brothers loved by God, in verse 4, that he has chosen you, how does he know? Because our gospel came to you, not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and full conviction. They had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel is what? It is the good news of Jesus. Anyone who wants to become a true Christian must first understand the good news of Jesus and respond to it by faith. What is this good news of Jesus? The good news of Jesus is simply this. It is that God exists and demands worship. But instead of worshiping him, all of us have rejected God. We are all born rebels against God. This is what the Bible calls sin. Sin is rebellion against God. It is living for ourselves. It is doing our own things in our own time and for our own reasons. And all of us are born this way. None of us want God in our natural self. None of us want to live for him. The problem is that rejecting God is not a small thing. God is the supreme Lord and creator of the universe. He is holy and he is righteous in all his ways. Which means that it's different from rejecting what your teacher tells you. It's different from rejecting what your mom tells you. Because God is infinitely powerful, he's infinitely righteous. You owe everything you have in your life to God. And the Bible says you have rejected him. And because you have rejected him, you stand guilty before God. Romans 3 verse 23 says this. For all, mom, dad, the prime minister, the police people, everyone in this room, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what's the consequence of that? The consequence of that is death. Romans 6 verse 23 tells us. For the wages of death, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In fact, the Bible says something much worse than that. The Bible isn't saying simply that you will die because you have rejected God. The Bible says all of us are walking dead. We are dead inside. We are spiritually dead. And the death we experience physically is a manifestation of that inner spiritual death that we have forever. And that is a massive problem. Because if you are dead, there's nothing you can do about your condition. You can't escape this condition. You are born into this slavery to sin and death. In 2008, the world was shocked when news broke that Elizabeth Friso had been held captive for 24 years behind 8 locked doors in a concealed basement in Austria. Who held her captive there? Her father, Joseph Friso. And during her imprisonment by her father, she had actually given birth to 7 children. And 4 of those children lived with their mother, Elizabeth, in captivity. And they lived in this prison, and they never realized there was even an outside world. To them, growing there for 24 years was just natural life. That's all they knew. They never knew there was anyone outside. That was normal life for them. The Bible says that is the picture of our human condition. All of us, we are born trapped in sin, behind concealed doors, slaves to our sinful nature. And sin, like Joseph Friso, has used and abused us and left us totally trapped. But there's a big difference between Joseph, Elizabeth Friso and us. Elizabeth Friso is a victim. She went there against her will. Those children went there against their will. We are slaves to sin willingly. We have willingly rebelled against God. And we willingly live in that trapped condition. But here is the good news. God has reached out to us out of his great love. And like the Australian police with Elizabeth and her children, he has made an escape for us. He hasn't come in with guns blazing to free us. No, he has sent his only begotten son to come in love and free us from our prison of sin and death. Jesus has come in love and taken on your full punishment for sin by dying on the cross for your sin to free you from that spiritual slavery and to give you new life with God. That is the good news of Jesus. Jesus is the only way to have new life with God. There's no other way. The Bible says, Jesus says, I am the word, the truth, and the life. Not a way. Jesus is the way. There is no other way to approach God except through what Jesus has done to pay the penalty for your sin, to free you from that spiritual slavery. But how do we benefit from this? Well, you have to receive that. Wouldn't it be amazing if the police turned up to free Elizabeth Friso, and Elizabeth Friso saw the police outside and decided to remain in that basement? And yet that's what many of us continue to do. We reject this offer of Jesus coming to us to die for our sins. We haven't received this gift. We need to receive Jesus, and the way we do that is by turning our back on the life of sin and placing our full trust in Jesus. It's to come to him in repentance and faith and pledging our allegiance to him, our whole life to him. And this is what the Thessalonians have done. Look at verse 9. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. Do you see? They turned from idols to serve the living God. And that is what a true Christian is. A true Christian is someone who has turned to God. They have asked God to forgive them of their sin based on the work of Christ on the cross. And they are trusting in Jesus and Jesus alone. And when you do that, you become what? Truly born again. God forgives your sins and gives you a new life. And you are now completely united with God. So the question this morning is this: have you done this? Are you, as you sit here this morning, placing your full trust? Are you like Elizabeth Friso, walking to that door, opening the door and welcoming the rescue from God? Or are you choosing to stay in that trapped concealment basement? Have you turned to him as your Lord and Savior. But if you have not done this, can I encourage you to do that this morning? Come to Jesus, admit you're a sinner, and put your full trust in his death for your sin. So the first thing we see there is that a true Christian has received Jesus. The second thing is that a true Christian has not only received Jesus, receiving Jesus leads to a changed life. A true Christian has a changed life. A true Christian is a person who, after placing their trust in Jesus, after turning to him, they show evidence that their life has now been changed by Jesus. And this is what happened to the Thessalonians. You see here that they're now living for Jesus in every area of their life. And people have noticed this change. Look at verse 6. They're imitating the apostles and they're imitating the Lord in verse 6. For you received the word in much affliction and with the joy of the Spirit. So he says that in verse 7. So you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. And the Thessalonians have radically changed. They have radically changed. They have abandoned all their false idols. They are now living for God. That's what verse 9 says. For they themselves do what? They report, news has spread concerning the reception we had among you. What were they talking about? How you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. David Platt, in his book, Follow Me, shares a very interesting experience he had doing missionary work with one of the house churches in Asia. One evening, he's sharing Jesus in this remote village in some part of Asia. There is a woman there, just like here this morning, there is a woman there who is listening attentively to everything that David Platt is saying in this remote village. He speaks about the love of Christ and now the fact that people can be born again. The woman hears this, and after the meeting, she tells David that, look, I want to now become a follower of Jesus. And of course, every pastor gets excited by that. David is very excited by the news. The next day, the woman turns up. She's now a follower of Jesus. She comes back and she puts David and the other pastor aside. She tells them that, look, the problem is that in my home, is full of idols. I have worshipped them all my life. What will I do now? I want to get rid of them. Can you help me? This is contemporary stuff in Asia, right, happening in this era. So David and the pastor go to the house and they are overwhelmed when they see all these idols. Inside this small house where this woman lives, there are black and red posters of false gods covering the walls. There are some demonic looking clay and wooden figurines resting on the floor and on the tables everywhere in the house. And in the middle of the room, there is a very large idol there. And he's just staring at them. Immediately, what do? David and the pastor, they start tearing down the posters. They start taking all of these idols. They start praying aloud for the woman and for God's blessing for our home, for God's glory. They are claiming the house for the Lord Jesus Christ as they now tear down all these idols in our life. And then they bring all these idols to the house church where they are. And they are meeting there. And what do? They collect all these idols, they put them there, and they lit a fire to them. There's a bonfire of the idols. You see, on that day, they begin their fellowship that Sunday morning. Not as they had done previously. They are starting their fellowship with the smoke of burning idols. And this story, of course, is similar to what has happened to the Thessalonians. They have had what? A bonfire of idols. And it happens even right now in many parts of Africa and Latin America and Asia, of course, as we've just heard, where people literally turning to Christ, meaning turning to the physical idols worship, people worship. But also we too have idols. Everyone has idols. Yes, they are different from those wooden figurines. But you see, an idol is anything in your life that you pursue, serve, and worship rather than God. And that means everything in your life that you put first other than God is an idol. And all of sin is idolatry. And so all of us, to be true Christians, when God has transformed us from our sins, what happens? We do what that woman does. We bring our idols and we burn them. We turn away from a life of sin. When God has changed in your heart, you now live a radically different life. If you are what you have always been, you are not a true Christian. Have you heard that? If you are what you have always been, you are not a true Christian. Because a true Christian is a new creation fashioned in the image of the Lord Himself. So if this is all you've always been, you haven't yet been transformed in your heart. When you speak to believers around even here, don't go very far, I have a chat with my dear brother Nick. He will share about what Jesus has done, how He transformed his heart, how He lived for other things, as is now what? I mean, we've got many examples even in this room. He's turned from idols he had in his life, and is now placing his full trust and weight in Christ. You see, when you turn to Jesus, everything that belongs to Jesus now becomes yours. His goodness replaces your moral filth. His spirit fills your spirit. His love becomes your love. His joy becomes your joy. His desires become your desires. His power becomes your power. The very life of Jesus now flows through your spiritual veins. Does this mean that you become perfect and never sin? Of course not. Doesn't mean that, does it, brother? It doesn't mean that. But it means that the direction of your life has now changed. You used to live for idols, but now you are living with full trust in Christ. You live for Him. No one can look to Jesus and not grow to look like Jesus. No one can look to Jesus and not think like Jesus, act like Jesus, and even grow to feel tremendous joy like Jesus. So if you claim to be a Christian this morning, let me ask you, has the way you lived your life truly changed since you claimed to have become born again? Have you genuinely turned your back on your own life? Has there been that drastic change inside of you that shows that even friends are saying, yes, your life has been truly changed? You've been hit by an heavenly truck and He's completely left you a wreck for Jesus. Has that happened to you? Well, if it has not happened, it is because you are not yet truly a follower of Jesus. So you need to come before God and turn to Jesus today. So that's the second thing. First thing, a true Christian is what? Has received Jesus. Two, a true Christian has a changed life. And here is the final point. A true Christian has persevering joy. A true Christian endures through the many difficult challenges of trusting in Jesus with joy that comes from God. You see, what's happened is quite simple. As the Thessalonians turned from idols and served God, what has happened is that they have angered some of their friends. Some of their friends, you see them as traitors. Many of the Thessalonians have probably lost businesses. Some have lost their jobs for Jesus. Some have had their marriages strained because they are now trusting in Christ. It has cost them being a follower of Jesus. But this has not stopped them. Have you noticed? They are persevering with God with amazing joy. Look at verse 6 again. For you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to tell you that if you become a Christian today, that means you're not going to have any more trouble. You hear that in many churches. Quite the opposite. If you become a follower of Jesus, it will cost you. Sometimes it will mean misunderstanding from your own family and friends. Sometimes it will mean suffering discrimination at workplace. Sometimes you face ridicule from your neighbors or ridicule in the classroom among friends. It will cost you because all true Christians suffer for Jesus. Jesus himself said, if anyone would come after me, he must do what? He must deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. And for Peter, John, and other disciples, taking up the cross literally meant that physically. Many of them died for Christ. 11 of the 12 apostles were persecuted and died brutal death. Peter was crucified upside down. And I wonder whether they heard those words and really understood. Yeah, that's what he meant. Jesus himself said, in this world you have what? You will have tribulation. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. You will suffer if you turn to Christ and follow him. And at the same time, God will enable you to persevere through such with joy. Why? Because God now lives in you. A Christian never walks alone. Because when you become born again, God comes and lives in you. And he brings you this amazing joy that even in the midst of affliction, you know God's presence and care. And you persevere through difficult challenges. And not only that, as you persevere through those difficult challenges, you have a family of believers that too have Jesus living in them. In the church that will pray, that will support you, that will care and love you. Because we are now in a fellowship of suffering together. This means that with God inside of you, a church that loves you, on your walk of faith, you will persevere and finish to the end. Yes, it's hard living for Christ. But you will finish because Jesus has already welcomed you into his glorious eternal kingdom. So we started off the discussion with that question. What is a true Christian? What does it really mean to follow Jesus? Well, we have seen that a true Christian has received Jesus. He or she has turned from a life of sin and placed full trust in Jesus. And when you genuinely do this, you will be truly born again. You will live a changed life. And every day, you'll grow to become more and more like Jesus. And we've seen that being a true follower of Jesus will come with a cost. Some people will oppose you. But God will enable you to be faithful to him. So the question I want to really leave with you this morning is this. Are you a true Christian? Are you genuinely converted, or are you still being duped by fake news? You have heard what the true source says. How does your trust match up with that? Are you still choosing to live in that trapped concealment, like Elizabeth Fritzl, or will you walk out like Elizabeth Fritzl did when rescue came? Jesus has come this morning to rescue you from your prison of sin. So turn to him. Tell him that you admit your sin and surrender your life to Jesus. And if you do that, you become born again this very moment. Yes, it will be costly. Yes, relationship might become strained. But that's what it means to be born again. God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if you do that, you know, you can come and see me afterwards, and as a church, we'd love to get behind you and support you in your walk with Christ. And if you've already been born again, it means what you do. What do you do next? You become baptized. Because remember, those whom Christ has changed from within obey Christ in everything. If you've truly been transformed in your heart, you have a burning desire to become baptized. Because you want to share to the whole world. Yes, that may cost you making that decision.
But that's what it means to follow Christ.
So you become baptized and you become part of the church. And together we walk in service for Jesus. This evening we'll discuss a bit more about what that service for Jesus looks like. And if you're already born again, this stuff should excite you. You should get excited because this shows, yes, you can tick, tick, tick and say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord because I'm born again. So I pray that you make that commitment to Him if you are not born again. Amen.